We join the Super Legit crew before the show as we talk about our old friend Bill Cott and the power of guest roles. I mean, Bill Cott had an amazing scene with, wasn't it Sterling K. Brown that he had the scene with?
Yeah, he was the crying mailman.
Yeah, he was the mailman that, like, he swept the internet with that scene. Now, granted, he had a monologue he got to deliver, so a little different, but he did, in fact, get the internet's attention with that scene.
He fucking crushed that scene, though.
So, yeah.
He crushed that scene.
So, we have history of people, you know, becoming internet sensations.
Wait,
alongside
Bill
Cott,
I saw that scene.
And This Is Us, that Bill Cott was the mailman that made everybody cry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wait,
right?
What? I have no idea.
I'll send you the link.
I've never seen the show either. I've meant to, but
I saw that.
What's
scene.
Hilarious is I did a workshop with Josh Einson, who was the associate casting director for Telsey & Company, who is the very large casting agency, casting company that cast This Is Us. And he specifically told the story about the mailman that they like never saw coming, the actor that actually like booked the role, that
fucking
they just
comedian.
Never saw coming, that it was this comedian, this improv dude, that made everybody while they were watching the tape just like bawl their fucking face off.
Wow. Fucking killed it. The power of comedic actors. Speaking of comedic actors and all their power, shall we record an episode?
Yes, please.
Let's do it.
Right. I am your host, Jet Kaufman, and we're doing a nice intimate show today. Let's see who our players are this week. We've got Josh Spence. We have Chris Sanders. Steve and C. James. And Jen Burton.
Do you guys smell something?
Oh, in this group always. Oh, we get to be nice and close in tonight. It's just the five of us. I love it. These are some of our most fun episodes.
About time. Jet, this was the original five I wanted when we first started talking about this GD podcast.
It is, yes. And at that time, I had no idea who any of these people even were. And I was like, what are you talking about, Josh? You're making up names.
What's worse is I didn't even make myself host or co-host right when I had the chance to. I didn't do it either time.
Right.
I love the idea of Josh assembling us Italian job style.
Yes.
Yeah, it was very Ocean's 11. Like, we need a grease man. Let's get a grease man.
I get the initiator. I got the closer, and I got the fart noise guy.
We spent a lot of time on the fart noise guy. It was
That was why you wanted me.
Yeah.
I'm the fart noise guy.
You are the fart noise guy. Yes.
Jen Burton is my dung beetle.
Hey, what's the question?
Yes.
What is the question? I've got it sitting right here in front of me because we don't have our co-host this week, Michael Hyman. So the question for tonight is, what's a time you were so confident only to find out later you were so wrong? And the listener who submitted this question was Bart Sampson. All right. So what do we got? Yes, Josh. Josh,
oh, great.
I see your
Thanks,
finger
buddy.
Up there. Let's bring it in.
I'm not sure if I've shared this before, but oh, my God. So I used to walk home from school every day. Walking by school, there'd be world music on Lyons Avenue. Mm-hmm. Had the best guitars in the world. And Josh, at 15 and a half years old, needed this Ibanez Destroyer. So my dad was like, you want this guitar, you got to get a job and earn it because I'm spending my money on me. So I was like, okay, great. So I also on the way home was a Del Taco. So I filed an application for Del Taco and I got the interview. And I'm excited about it. And I'm running late on the day of the interview from school to the interview. And I'm sweaty and just a mess of everything. And I'm doing the interview and he's asking me the general, oh, so this would be your first job. And how are you with this? And he said, well, we have to have strict codes of cleanliness here in the kitchen. Do you think you're that guy? And I remember that question because I remember I said, sir, I'm all about cleanliness. If you only give me a chance, I will show you how clean I can be. And he like snickered a little bit. And I was offended when he snickered because I was giving an honest answer and like just putting hope of all hope that he would give me the fucking job. And he, you know, he didn't shake my hand, said, thank you, have a good day. And as I'm walking out, my nose itch. And when I kind of went to like rub my nose, just a big old booger was just on my finger. And I thought, I did the whole fucking interview with a booger hanging out. And then he let me do the whole interview with the booger hanging out.
I'm torn on whether that guy was a giant asshole or not.
We're just doing his job.
My first thought is the guy's a giant asshole. But my second thought is, I mean, doing that job, he's got to be like, this is one of the small joys.
Right.
This is absolutely one of the tiny things.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
No, he knew comedy. That the guy who interviewed me, Norm MacDonald. Like,
I think it's so crazy that people will not tell you those things. I've walked up to strangers on the street and been like, you have something on your face. Like, there's been so many times when I've like gone somewhere, had a full conversation, you come home and it's like, oh, I got a big, you know, turd smear on my face. Mm-hmm. And like, because that's what happens all the time.
Yeah, all
the time. You know, and like, nobody's told me, or I have like lettuce in my teeth or something. And I'm like, you got like, just tell anybody just, wants to.
I've
know.
Always wanted it to be publicly acceptable to pop that goddamn zit on the back of your neck.
Yes.
That is a bridge too far for me. Woo! But I understand the impulse.
There's a mathematic formula for amount of time someone in a married couple has had shit on their face without their partner telling them, and the amount of contempt within their relationship.
Something you want to tell us?
Know? Like, if there's a, well,
is that
the
logarithmic?
Story comes from, I think there's got to be something on the sine wave. Cause like, I was at a restaurant in Boston one time and there was this couple and the husband was just going for it. And he had fucking cord niblets all over his face leaving the restaurant. And she wasn't saying anything. And I was like, that guy must be a real prick to his family that they're just like, fuck it. Just go. Just go.
Super.
He's obviously showing that off he's showing off the holes in his hand for a reason. He either wants us to talk about it or he wants us to say thank you. So
what do you expect him to do? They're just there. You think he's just flaunting them or something? I'm lost here. It's like when you've got holes through your hand and you're stuck that way, you just have it. Why is everything a conspiracy theory with you, Josh?
You know what? He always says he's the nicest guy. He keeps saying like he died for our sins. I didn't ask him to do that. Okay?
I'm a maniac on the cross. And I'm sacrificing like you've never seen before.
How can you not like this guy? How can you not like this guy?
Are you going to tell him he's a good
singer? I'm really glad you guys came to my rehearsal for my one man show.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm sorry. I was really focused in on rehearsal, but
if
you guys had any input, I would really appreciate it.
Mr. H. Christ, I have the M&Ms you asked for in your writer.
Thank you.
Here you are.
Thank you. They all have holes drilled in the middle. There's no M.
Oh, that's beautiful. But they're actually slipping
like you
through
say,
your hands.
Sir, there's no me in Christ.
There's not. There's just I.
Okay, so
that's fair. Yeah.
We made a deal. I was known as being the doubtful one, and now that you're back, I promised myself I wouldn't be doubting anymore, and that I would be super supportive of you. So I am going to say that it is extremely noticeable.
I'll try another handful.
He's doing it. He's doing it.
Do you want help, sir? I was going to wash your feet, but I could feed you M&Ms instead. If that's preferable.
I don't need M&Ms. If you are hungry, I will feed you.
Here. Oh, Oh, thank you. I actually am. Continue
your thoughts. I'll get you a handful of M&Ms.
Look, I'm the 13th apostle. You're the 14th apostle. Okay, you don't have to call him sir. Okay, like
none of them. You don't have to wash his feet. Again.
I got one that time. All right, that's good enough. You don't put yourself out.
Treat it as a funnel. Hold your hands underneath my giving hands.
Okay, yes. I like this. Oh, this metaphor.
Sir, I'm just gonna
raining.
I'm just gonna come in here and sweep all these M&Ms off the floor.
Yeah, he's not even eating them. They're going through his hands.
Wait, no. Sir, look. On the floor, it's made of a full-color portrait of your mother. It is truly a miracle. Truly a miracle, sir.
Let me just sweep this up real quick here.
That's part of the show. That's a rug I had made. It's a metaphor. My mother was. I came from her, but she was.
Oh Christ! We've heard this story.
She had control over me, but now I'm standing on her, so that I have now I have power over my mother.
Yeah, we all get it. We all get it. Yeah.
Well, Jesus, saw your show. It's a lot about me in it. Yeah. Let's just start there.
did you? It's a week long.
I just gotta say, I mean, look, you have a lot of talents, but I don't believe that. I mean, you literally filled the whole front row with M&Ms just burst from your hands, and then you stepped on my face. I just want to know where I went wrong as your mother.
You didn't go wrong anywhere. I'm a storyteller.
Okay. Well, I just want you to know that I've been getting some nasty prayers lately.
Knock, knock, knock. It's your stepdad, Joseph. Can I come in? Is there room for you?
Yeah, come in, Joseph. We're having a little. Joseph saw the show too.
We don't have doors.
Oh, okay.
He went through the cloud.
Trying to hold the line here. Did you tell him how good the play was, Mary?
I told him that it was fine, and I told him that I didn't like the part where he stepped on my face and swirled me around. And I also do not like being depicted in M&Ms. Not to be negative, but that's just the truth.
Ma has a hard time really appreciating art.
I get you, Slugger, and I think you did your best. And you know what? Even though your father couldn't be here, Joseph is here for you. And just, I got your back, buddy. But
depending on who you are, my father was here because
I'm sorry I'm late.
We're not that sect.
Well, look who it is. The man himself. The man who didn't ever take credit for this whole situation.
Hey, Mary.
Yeah.
How are you?
Still waiting on that custody check.
I know.
Mary, can I talk to you into the other room real quick? Look, I know I'm just like the stepdad, but I just want to say I'm the guy who GD stepped up here when he
I know,
wasn't
you
around.
Did great. You took me on the donkey and everything. I mean, you
did
got
I do
us-
something wrong? I felt like I was just like a book note in that story.
No, are you kidding? You're very important. You pull the donkey along. And just because I was knocked up by somebody else, it doesn't mean that you didn't step up.
And then I turned the M&Ms into Reese's Pieces. And I stepped on Mom's face.
That sounds great, son.
Of course you take his side. That is classic.
Absolutely fantastic. and again, I'm so sorry I'm late. I told the Holy Ghost to write it down in my book. But you know.
Well, it just seems like if you really wanted to be here, you know, you kind of would have been here. There's a calendar that I made for everybody. You know?
No one's talking to you, Joseph.
Sorry, Joseph.
Why don't you back off?
Get him down.
Can I talk to you for a moment?
Hey, I think that shelf looks a little wobbly, Carpenter. Why don't you head over there?
Hey, that's a solid profession to be in. That took
Meanwhile,
care of three people.
I'm going to go ahead and create, I don't know, everything. You know what? Here, have a platypus. Figure that out for a while.
Hold
Keep
this
yourself
thing.
Busy.
I don't want. What am I supposed to do with this?
It's honestly my dad's favorite thing. I mean, Joseph. I don't think he really meant what he said about carpenters. Because I helped you.
We have a company together, Joseph and Son. Like that's. Yeah.
Platypus,
I'm
though,
sure that's what he'll go down in history for.
You know what, he
carpentry.
He should be so lucky.
Should he?
Well, look, I mean, obviously you have the support of your stepfather and your father, and I'm just some idiot whose face is stepped on during your show. And if that's what you want, that's fine. No. I'm gonna go sit in the Vatican for a while and look up at all the stained glasses of me, because those are nice and nobody steps on them.
Wow, Mary. Wow. Looks like Jesus isn't the only one who needed to climb down off of that cross. Maybe this isn't about you. I mean, no wonder you're a virgin.
Hey.
I mean, I'm just saying what everybody else was thinking.
That is
And I know that because I can read all of their minds.
That's a very rude thing to say. That is a very, considering what you put me through, I didn't even get to enjoy anything. I just had a baby. It was awful.
Oh, you enjoyed it. You know,
which
you
part
did
I enjoy? I had nothing. I just like started getting real heavy, and then a baby came out, and I didn't even know what was happening. Also, P.S. I had it in a hay barrel, like a I don't even know what. And hay is sticking up all of the cracks.
Hey, I did the best I could on a carpenter's wage.
Joseph,
You said I was born in manger hospital.
No, you were born in a manger. A manger is it literally is something that a horse eats out of. That was your crib. And then these three guys
She's
show up that I don't
to
even
this
know
whole time.
Are giving me gifts I don't even want. Who needs myrrh? I'll tell you who. Nobody. What am I supposed to do with that? Frankincense?
It's a salve.
The gold I kept.
Oh, notice how she kept the gold. Did any of that go into your rabbinical education?
Look, it's a CVS from 2,000 years ago. Just get whatever's in the aisles. I'm getting a myrrh. You get him frankincense. It's a baby. He won't even know the difference.
You know, I'm not even going to bother. I could buy stuff or I could just give them the gold directly. I'm just going to give them the gold.
I'm going to get him Pedialyte because he's probably going to be sick often.
Legit. It's that kind
Finally
of podcast.
A practical gift.
Finally. Something that the parents are going to appreciate.
I straight up would have taken Pedialyte and gold. Like that.
That will come in handy.
You know that Jesus teethed on that gold, right? There's a bunch of little teeth marks in it.
That's how the tradition started. Yeah.
That's how you know it's real gold, is, you know, if those teeth work on there. So who's got something else that they were so confident
Who
about?
Who can top boogers?
Found out later
Go ahead.
So wrong.
Gosh.
You know, I've got a little one from my first year teaching, and it was really when I learned how to, like, my first time where it was like, oh, okay, this is not a one-way street. We learn both ways. This kid, not a kid, now an adult, and I guess I think I remember this one, Trevor Waldron. There's this assignment. We're reading this story in that ever-popular 90s, early 2000s genre of homeless people. It's like they're people, too. Right. Where it's like the story is something where it's like this kid, I think it was called the Treasure of Lemon Brown.
You ever seen a man buy a liquor store begging for your change?
Precisely. Yeah. It was called The Treasure of Lemon Brown, and it's about this kid who meets this homeless guy. And I think it turned out that like the homeless guy was like, used to be a blues musician.
Of course.
Or something. Yep. Something ridiculous like that. So I'm having the kids do, like, they had options for like three different things, and one of them was doing an artistic a rendering of something from the story, some sort of drawing or some piece of artwork, right? And the kid hands me his paper, and it's this really great drawing, but it's clearly just been like in the bottom of his backpack, and it's all worn out and pencil smudged and all this stuff. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna give this 9 out of 10. It's good art, but I'm giving it an A-, because obviously he didn't really care much about the assignment. And so then I give the kid the A-, and like, I've made the joke before that, B pluses are the perfect grade. A B minus is the perfect grade, because a kid is so glad they didn't get the C that there's no chance that they're going to complain about the B minus. And an A- is just asking for trouble.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so I give this kid an A-, but he comes to me and he's like, Miss James, why did I get an A-? And I'm like, well, look, it's in awful shape and it's in terrible condition. And he goes, well, I did that on purpose. I went through and I smudged the drawing
because of, you know, the situation he's in, where he's homeless. So I made it look like the drawing was worn out. And I was just like, oh, you're an artist. Oops. and it was basically like, I am so sorry. That's brilliant.
Right.
Okay, here's your full credit. I get it. I'm so sorry. You're not an automaton. Yep. I'm not just a grade factory. We're both people. Holy shit. Thank you.
And what's great, at the end, that kid was like, fucking sucker.
I can only hope, because then he won twice.
super.
Welcome to my home. It's a bit of a mess.
It's okay.
As you'll notice, there's newspapers everywhere. There's piles of trash.
I like trash.
There's spoiled food pouring out of the trash can. If you check the fridge, most of it's expired.
Your food's talking. I like that. Spoiled food's talking.
Those are the cats.
I like cats too.
I say the cats, not my cats. They've just kind of, wandered in here. They're taking
Look,
up
can
space.
We just cut to the chase real quick?
Like, I'm sorry. Yeah, please. I get nervous and I talk too much.
Don't be, I'm signing up to be your best friend. And as someone, you have a hovel, right? This place, we can say by all accounts, is a hovel.
Okay.
As someone who is hovel-less, I wouldn't mind having half of your hovel as your best friend. So everything's great.
Wow. You've walked in here and seen just the horrible living conditions that I'm in, just the trash heap of a home I'm in, and you still want to be my best friend?
The fact that you have living conditions means everything.
Oh my god, that's incredible. Why don't
I'm sorry, is your cat singing? Like, that's...
not my cat, but yes.
Our cat! I love this! We're already best friends! Our cat is singing! That's fantastic!
After all this, I'm gonna open one last door here.
Is it a singing dog? If it's a singing dog, I'm totally gonna shit my pants.
I'm gonna open the door and show you my palatial mansion. Look at it. Look at my gorgeous, gorgeous palatial expensive mansion.
Meow.
See?
Meow.
It was a test.
Why is your singing dog sounding like a cat?
Meow.
Hi. I'm Scruff McGruff. Why don't you take a seat right over there?
Yeah.
You want to tell me what you're doing here?
I'm just
my new best friend. This is my new best friend. He passed the test, Scruff. He likes me for me.
You sure he's not here to do drugs?
Hey, Randy, Scruff's offering you drugs.
Scruff! Get into my office right now!
Captain! What?
Sit down.
I have a trench coat on and my tail is sticking through it. It is very difficult to sit or the tail.
I said, sit boy, sit. Sit boy, sit.
All right.
The mayor has been after my ass all morning long. Apparently you were on some estate in some non-authorized sting operation.
People were gonna do drugs.
I'm about to take your badge and your chew toy if I do not hear right now that this is the last time I have to deal with this. You're not a one-man, one-pup army against crime.
Oh, I'm getting too old for this shit. Captain, I am, though. I am the only dog that talks and wears clothes like a human, though I do only wear a trench coat. But still, I'm the only one that does that. And I don't let people do drugs.
Well, you know what you are? Right now, you're a bad cop. Bad cop.
No.
Yeah. All right? And so you know what? Yeah. So you know what I'm going to have to do now? I'm going to have to squirt you with this
water. No. No, don't you do that.
It's either that or I rub your nose in these drugs.
Oh, okay, I'll take the water gun. Just do it. Just get it over with.
There we go. No, don't drink the water. Don't drink the water. It's adorable. Don't drink the water. Don't drink the... Oh, my God. I can't stay mad at you. Now, come help me erase this body cam footage.
Legit.
Legit. Hey, listen, we do, of course, have a sponsor on every episode. It's what
I'm definitely a few drinks in.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. The sponsor pays the bills, keeps our show running. And Steven, you brought us the sponsor for this one, didn't you?
Yeah, actually, Hyman emailed this to me. He apparently is attending. The reason why Hyman's not here, I will say, it is a good excuse. Apparently, Hyman, as a Dodgers super fan, was invited to Shohei Ohtani's first underground game.
Oh. I'm also a super fan.
So yeah, that was tonight. Mm. Oh well, it's kind of a co-host only thing. Yeah. He's there with Andy Richter. Mm. He and Andy Richter are there right now, and they're just having the best time. They're sending me pictures all throughout. He just got to hit one of Shohei's pitches. It's great.
What?
Apparently, so cool. Shohei not throwing is only for the public. Anyway, so yeah, I'll go ahead and run that out now.
Hey, is that Taco Bell not so swell? Is your croque monsieur a giant boar? Looking for something hammy? Something jammy? We've got the best meal from Seattle to Miami. It's the Hammy Jammer. Your savory, sweet, lunchy treat. It's yummy for your tummy when you need something high calorie that won't cost you your whole salary. The Hammer Jammer. It's the perfect meal for one or two, whether Gentile or a Jew, because this ham's kosher. Who knew? If that's the thing you just can't believe, we've got testimonials for you from a Gutenberg named Steve. I was in police academy. So try the Hammer Jammer. It's so good, you'll think we should be putting the slammer. Don't listen to me, Yammer. Go buy a Hammer Jammer.
Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I'm so hungry now.
Michael Hyman brings in the best fucking ads.
What the fuck was that? Three gentlemen and a baby?
I like that you did the British original. Three gentlemen and a baby.
Three gentlemen and an infant.
Look, she looks so cute in my monocle.
I say, it's another poopy diaper. Whose turn is it? Why, isn't this quite a predicament? Three men who don't know what they're doing.
Great.
Oh my god. I love that the Three Men and a Baby sequel in 2024 is a gay throuple fucking doing a great job of raising
Is that true?
Yeah. Oh. No. But that's let's what write it would right be. Now. Quick.
Yep. I literally thought you were that existed.
It could happen.
I was like, that's
right. It's called Foursquare.
I mean, it probably is actually happening.
Yes. So,
like Foursquare. Feet from our homes. Yeah,
it's on Freeform or Crackle.
It's like 10 seconds long. Lights up.
No, it's just like
who's such a Quibi baby who had a poopy. Our sexuality has nothing to do with this.
Roll credits.
Mm-hmm. The kid shows up to first grade and she's like, "I did all my homework," and that's like the whole. That's all.
That's it. You get a B minus.
Perfect.
Legit. No. Jet ski, what's the question again? Oh, sorry, go.
I had a moment that I was like overly confident and it did not pay off. It was a summer camp thing and it was just before like lights out, so I had like gone to the bathrooms to brush my teeth and go pee or whatever.
I'm going to interrupt it. This involves you peeing your pants. We have
no, it does not.
Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
No, it's a new season. No one's heard this story before.
Story.
You get to tell them all over again.
Wait, follow-up question to his question. No, really, is it about pee?
No.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Now, by the laws of comic timing, the delay has been too great. And the story doesn't matter anymore.
Okay, no, wait. So you're brushing your teeth. You're getting ready to go to bed. What happened? Uh-huh.
I was walking back to my cabin and I had this great idea in my head that I was in the younger the younger group of campers. The age groups were just separated. There were two groups. There was like the older campers and younger campers, and I was at the higher end of the younger campers. My cabin was right next to a group of older campers. the older campers were between my cabin and the bathrooms. And when I, after I finished brushing my teeth to go back to my cabin, I, in my head, thought I would walk into my cabin, open the door, and impress all of my similarly aged peers with a bit of elderly wisdom and say something like, only real men sleep in their boxers. Only when I opened the door and said those exact words, it was to the cabin of the slightly older campers who were not my cabin at all.
Not your peers.
And they were fucking pissed. They like
having a stranger.
They threw shit at me. That like shoes came at me. And I was just like, I had never that was by far the most embarrassed I think I've ever personally felt in my life, and immediately like cowered and ran back down the stairs and out and then to my cabin. And at that point, my cabin like heard the little bit of like noise coming from the cabin next to us. So when I came in, they're like all already coming to the door, like, what's going on out there? And I had to like cower in around them and just go to them and be like, nothing, nobody's, there must have been some idiot who said something stupid about boxers. I don't know.
The next day, were all the older campers like, hey, it's the boxer kid.
Yeah, no, it surprisingly didn't. Yeah, because that is absolutely the like in that age, like early teens, that should have happened and it somehow didn't.
Super.
So, just here looking at your application for your job here in the Secret Service, and we've done an incredibly thorough background check. We think that, you know, you're a great candidate. You've got military service under your belt, which is great. You've also got all these years as a performer, which means you've got the ability to be kind of a chameleon. You've also got, I mean, honestly, a healthy distrust of the United States government, which we believe is just speaks even more to your ability to make the ultimate sacrifice of possibly taking a bullet for the president. The one thing that I would like to talk about is, it's difficult, is the boxer cabin situation.
What do you want to say about it?
It seems that there's a level of embarrassment here that could be something where it could be used against you. Some sort of intelligence that could be used by an adversary in order to maybe threaten to expose this. Much like you nearly exposed yourself to that group of older campers. And then therefore compromise you with that level of embarrassment.
Like you're worried that I've already divulged this information to, say, a Russian prostitute while I was hanging out in the Netherlands with some friends on a trip that was just for it was turning 35 and it was just a fun thing to do.
Tell me more about this situation that you found yourself in. I'm definitely a normal prostitute. I do not have any links to any kind of government situation. And we will eventually have sex. But right now, I'm really interested in this, like, camp story you have going on.
That's also why I hired you. I really had not much interest in having sex. Like, if that happens, bonus. But I just really wanted to tell you about this kind of embarrassing moment. So I was at camp. It was like a summer camp. And
wait a minute. Let me get comfortable on the big bed.
Yeah, that's precisely what we're concerned about. Like, when I say precisely, I mean,
well,
wow.
Like, in my defense, at that time, I didn't really want to defend the president.
Okay. Let me look back at your records. You were 35 in 2017. That tracks. Okay.
So what you're saying is that you don't really care what happens to the American president.
I mean, at this point in my life, fuck
if
no.
If this story was to, say, fall into the hands of somebody very powerful, that you would not care if the president, the American president, was affected.
I mean, yeah, sure. Like, is the American president, like, showing up into a room he's not invited into just in his skivvies and saying something stupid about wearing boxers and being a man?
This is very interesting.
And according to our records, yeah, the president at that time in 2017 had a history of walking into rooms in his boxers and saying stupid things, including one time at the Teen Miss USA pageant. So yeah, this is all tracking with our record, sir.
Yeah, so I'm just don't understand how it could be held against me for look, where we are now.
With all due respect, I think you're asking the wrong line of questions.
Right, because it's the Secret Service. I mean, ultimately, our real job is to protect currency.
No, 100%. Yeah. So let me just see if I can maybe do my line of questioning. Maybe that'll... So was she like a Boris and Natasha type prostitute? Or are we talking like Black Widow? Like what version? Red hair, blonde hair?
So let me tell you a little bit about myself.
I'd love to know it, just in case I, you know, have to retell this story sometime in the future.
No, I understand. I get this question a lot. I am a Boris and Natasha type prostitute.
Hot.
I don't know if that means anything to you.
Not to me right now, but who knows?
So do we mean like she was
Boris and Natasha.
Tall or like short with the mustache and wore a hat? Like,
no.
Because...
Also, I used to have a mustache, but I shaved it. And also, my hair is naturally red, but I dye it blonde. Anyway, if that is useful for later.
Do you have enough time to regrow it?
My mustache? Well, give me an hour. I think it could come back in a little.
Nice.
In light of all that, I think you hit it right on the head with nice.
Yeah, see?
Okay.
No,
I guess
further questions for me, Your Honor.
I think you don't mean Your Honor. I think you mean your supervisor. We'll talk about this later. I just want to say, welcome to the Secret Service. And
yes!
Also, you too, Natalia, welcome to the Secret Service. You're both in.
Oh, this is very interesting. I'm as a celebratory act, I will have sex with all of you.
Legit.
Oh, sorry.
Somebody's read the last part of the book, It.
The book.
That. Yeah.
Wait, the clown fucks everybody?
Right.
Yeah.
It is like, so Stephen King is 90% an amazing writer. And he, like, every ending, you're like, wait, what? Like every ending of every one of his books, you're like, pretty I much. Did all that to get to this. And in it, it's like, I don't even want to talk about it. It's like,
but we're here and you brought it up. So you should probably
start it. The book is old and
all of the characters, don't be all like the Josh, characters yeah. lose their virginity to another character. In the last moments of the book as young, basically like middle schoolers.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's
interesting.
It's completely unnecessary. It is completely unnecessary.
It's a child train that they have.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah. That's a great improv team name,
no,
by the way.
No, it's not. No.
Nope, no, it's not. Nobody? Not happening.
No. No.
Am I the only one on this?
Yes.
I'm gonna use our favorite two words. Edit point.
I guess that answer circles back to your can you repeat the question? Because I also have a secondary answer.
What's a time you were so confident only to find out later you were so wrong?
This isn't necessarily me per se, but I was watching the Super Bowl. I don't know if you guys saw that Mark Wahlberg commercial where he did like a Catholic Jesus app.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was so confident that like this, like he had to be so confident that this app for like confessing is going to go over.
Yeah.
Like gangbusters or whatever the new phrase is. Like, I would love to have that confidence of Mark Wahlberg telling everybody, get this new app. It's going to be awesome. That and the one with like how Jesus is cool now because he washes feet.
Yeah, the Jesus ad was a pretty big deal during that. Yes.
Sanders, real quick, can you do like a Mark Wahlberg impression real quick so I can apologize to Mark Wahlberg about that? No? Legit? Okay, go ahead, Jet.
It seems like he's trying.
He's thinking of it.
Sorry.
I just came back from working out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not my normal working time. You know, I wake up at 3:30 in the morning. You know what I do at 3:30 in the morning?
What, dude?
I pray first. Really? That my muscles are going to get very hard and thick when I work out, because immediately after I pray, I start working out before I have breakfast. But before I have breakfast, I eat. My eating is a workout. I don't have a workout. I eat for my workout before I pray. And then after I pray, you know what I do?
What?
I eat breakfast. But when I say eat breakfast, it means I work out. My breakfast is weights. I lift those weights. Anyways, I heard that you had a problem with my Halo app.
You know what?
I'm just trying to get people to stay prayed up. Stay prayed up.
100%. That's great.
Stay prayed up to Jesus. 100%. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Here we go.
You know what? I actually,
Lord God, Jesus
I came
Christ,
in. Thank you I so came much in hot, and I was making
allow
fun
me
of
to
it
come in here and tell Josh Spence that he's a piece of shit for telling me. You know, oh my God, I'm so sorry for kissing in front of you. I'm so sorry for kissing in front of you, Jesus. That's going to be one of the things I ask you to redeem me for. Oh, I had a busy morning. You know what time I got up, God? You know what time I got up? 2 a.m. I got up at 2 a.m. I got up at 2 a.m. So I could pray.
I was
going
to come here to apologize. I will just see myself out, Mr. Wahlberg. I'll see you at the floor.
I'm sorry. I got to go. It's time for me to go to bed so I can get ready for my next day.
It's 1:30 in the morning. The day before.
You know what? Time is a construct. And none of it makes sense.
That's very McConaughey of you. But yeah, okay. I'm in on that. I just, you know, I have the moment. I'll just say it right now. I was making fun of you, and then God smited me and my microphone. So, like, I can't get, you're the closest representative to God. So I just wanted to say, Mr. Wahlberg, on behalf of all the heathens, I wanted to apologize. I'm sorry.
I accept your apology. And you know what? You're doing exactly what all of us want to do at Halo App. We want you to stay prayed up. You need to pray so hard that you become relentless. You understand what I'm saying?
You understand? I see what you did there. Okay, I'm gonna legit this now. Okay, so anything else?
Relentless.
Okay, legit.
Stay
okay
prayed up for Lent and be relentless.
Yeah, no, I got watch it. That's prayers cool. I'm gonna legit this scene. So legit.
That wasn't a scene. That was just reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was our. That was
bye, Mark.
Wahlberg. Bye, Mark.
Yeah, I was amazing. Thanks for coming by. Jeez.
I know. I thought it was going to be a homebrew, and then he finally showed up.
Yeah.
Just in time, like this Jesus is does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I really stepped in it in front of Mark Wahlberg, right?
Yep. Yep.
Well, the great thing about Mark Wahlberg is when you step in it, you can then walk across it like Jesus on the water.
I'm trying not to laugh because, in all sincerity, that was a big epic fail. That's something like I thought I was in total control of, and totally biffed it. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm not co-host ever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You offended Mark Wahlberg.
It's on the long list of reasons. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a confidence thing that I was confident about, and then I
please thought, let's get this off.
You guys want to hear it?
I'd love to hear it.
This is off of Chris's because I was a very small child at the time.
No.
I didn't think I had one until you told your story, and then I realized I did, and I probably have dozens. and I'm just blocking out. But when I was I was probably in the first grade. Do you guys remember the monkey bars?
You know
the monkey bars?
Yeah.
I was really good at the monkey bars, and I loved them. And I was very fast. My little tiny hands would whip across them as fast as I could. And there was this teacher that I really liked. I was in the first grade or something, so it wasn't like anything creepy. But I wanted to impress her. Like, I was like, she was just like one of those teachers who was cool. And I was like, I am going to show Mrs. Whoever she is. I blocked it out. how fast I can go on these monkey bars. So I went as fast as I could. Just, I was flying across the monkey bars. And the very last one I missed. And I don't know if you know the horrific danger zones of monkey bars back in the day.
Yeah.
But they're just death traps over like a small layer of tan bark. And I flew, this will be hard to imagine, but you know how there's like, it's all, the whole thing is made out of metal tubes.
Mm-hmm.
Like
right.
This, you got two stairs up and then you got metal bars across like a sideways ladder and then two stairs on the other, but it's all metal. My stomach, I flew onto the top step of the thing. So it was like somebody had taken an iron bar and just smashed me in the stomach. I landed, I was going a million miles per hour. And I knocked the wind out of me, which I had never experienced.
Wow.
That as a small person. I was just hanging like this raggedy thing who couldn't get a breath. And my favorite teacher, she came up to me and it turned out to be, I was so confident that I could impress her, but instead she ended up having to basically carry me to the nurse's office because I couldn't. I had damaged myself trying to impress her.
I'm picturing poor little Jen Burton, like that crying where you're just gasping, where you're like, I was on the Mars and I fell and I, poor thing.
It was, I don't even remember crying. I just remember feeling such deep humiliation and I don't remember crying. I remember I couldn't breathe and I remember having to like go and then being like, this is terrible. I've made a terrible mistake. It was like my first lesson in like ego. This is the last story I'll tell about bad things that happened to me on the playground. But I also, you know, those bars that just, it was just like a single bar that then the two ends went into the ground and girls would like, you put your knee over it and you'd swirl around in like this way. And I wanted to see what it would be like. Instead of holding my hand backwards, I would hold them forwards. Great idea. Very confidently fell right on my face into the table because I wasn't holding on the right. Anyway, so I'm lucky I'm alive and I might have just like a smallest bit of brain damage from falling on my face repeatedly as a child.
Well, I was going to say when I was in the second grade, I was playing Red Rover. Had another one of those playground things where it's like, I guess this is why we don't let kids do this anymore, because it they raised their hands up and it hit me right at neck level and I just got fully clotheslined where I went like and then landed flat on my back. So I go from like seeing friends' arms to seeing the sky and being like
it's really kind of a miracle the kids from that time didn't end up just dead after recess. Like there were so many dangerous things.
Yeah,
many dangerous games that like actually I'm wondering what is the generational gap for games like Red Rover?
I mean,
we played it.
Yeah, I
know we did, but I
think we're the last crew.
We might have been the last crew. Like people that are in there, like. Late 20s, early 30s, probably weren't playing it.
Well, they just are given a marshmallow.
You like run as fast as you can across this field and break the grip of your friends who are holding on as if this is fucking life or death, and make sure that you hit their fists together right in the center of your gut. Well, because anywhere else is going to result in choking you out and clotheslining you.
And now we just want to dislocate your friend's shoulders. Well, I was about to say, I've been teaching long enough that at the beginning of my teaching career, they played dodgeball at my school, like late 90s, early 2000s. And then quickly it went to a game called Socko, which involved like a much softer dodgeball, which was like it felt more like it was a ball full of socks. Until we went to not playing a game where we threw things at children at all. Right? Yeah. That game's longer than
that.
There's no longer
a
game where it's just like, hey, a whole bunch of people are going to stone you to death with the softest stones we were legally allowed to use.
Yeah, it's wild time to be a little kid.
I'm so glad we're talking about this. Do you want to hear the best story of someone straight up denying something ever?
I mean, with a lead in like that, no thank you. Yes, of course.
Second grade, playing tag, and technically the game was sharks versus dolphins. You get tagged, you become a dolphin, you become a shark, you try to catch the dolphin until it's all sharks, and you reset it. So we're all running around.
It's all dolphins.
Never happens, my man. So... So we're running, and then in the middle of the running, you just get this very evident smell of poo-poo. Ooh. Just real bad. And everybody goes, Ugh, this smells like poo-poo. It smells like poo-poo. It smells like poo-poo. Everybody keeps running. Who smells like poo-poo? I don't know. It's not me. I don't know. It's not me. It's not me. One of the kids tells, like, one of the, like, you know, instructors or whatever, someone pooped their pants. They stop the game. Mm. They go, okay, everybody, somebody here had an accident. Now, if we're going to close our eyes, and if the person who just comes forward, we have a pair of pants for you, we can take care of you. It'll be fine. Not a big deal. Everybody closes their eyes. Everybody opens their eyes. Nobody comes forward. The teacher's like, okay, look, this is kind of a big deal. It smells really bad. Plus, it's like unhealthy. So if we can just take care of this, we can just move past this. Close our eyes. Nobody comes forward. We're all standing in line. She's like, okay, I will have to smell each one of you individually.
Oh, God.
And, you know, the one who smells the most like poo-poo, we will take you to the office and we will get you a fresh set of clothes. So, sniff test.
Teacher is so glamorous.
Sniff test. Comes to me. Fine. Goes five down more. It's you. It's you. It's Fred. It's you.
It's not me.
Fred, you smell like poop.
It wasn't me, I promise.
Fred, did you go poop in your pants?
Yeah.
Poor Fred.
It wasn't me though.
Fred, it was the first time I think I've ever experienced comedy where the teacher was like, There's poop in your shorts. It was shorts technically. There's poop in your shorts. Yeah. Well, that means you pooped your pants, but it wasn't me. Gosh. So do you mean to tell me that somebody put poop in your pants?
Well, I was a dolphin, and that was the end of the scene.
I don't know.
Fred Stranip said, I was a dolphin.
I had a cousin try to pull something like that once. He was, like, visiting our house from out of town, and he wet the bed and was in, like, a whole other room. And they were like, hey, you wet the bed. And he was like, Steven did it. And it was and all the adults burst out laughing at the idea that I had gotten up in the middle of the night, walked in, whizzed all over this kid, specifically just inside of his pants.
Yes. And
it was like, you traded pants with him, pissed in him, and then gave him the pants back.
Shopa.
Mr. James, thank you for coming in to this Secret Service meeting. It's me and my co-commander. I'm Dr. Fishin. This is Chips. We will talk to you about...
I'm sorry. You're Dr. Fishin?
Yes.
And his name is...
Commander Chips. Dr. Fishin. Yeah.
I'm Chips. Yep.
Commander Dr. Chips.
So I think you know the question that I'm going to ask, right?
No.
No idea.
Why do you need a doctorate to have this job?
What is your
doctorate? Are you a doctorate of criminology?
Yeah.
I've got a general, just a general doctorate.
A general doctorate?
Yeah.
I got a Jared doctorate.
Okay. All right. Proceed. Yeah.
But this isn't about us. We're supposed to talk to you about your embarrassing moment, not anything about us.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I'm surprised you didn't go with the fish and chips part. You went with the doctor part. Congrats to you.
That's very telling about you as a person.
Yeah.
That was actually part of the test right there.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah, you guys have dumb names, but, I mean, that's not going to affect me.
Whoa, we, like...
Let him speak his mind. That's fine. That's
okay,
fine.
I have a retort, but go ahead, speak your mind, sir, about our dumb name. Sure.
Okay, your name is Dr. Fishin, and his name is Just Chips.
Commander Dr. Chips.
Okay, you introduce him simply as Chips. I rescind my former statement about it being a dumb
name. Thought it was implied that we had the same title of doctor. Yeah. His is general, though. Mine's Jared. What's the problem? We're here to talk about your embarrassing thing, not anything that we possibly could have made up. So let's talk about the time that you peed on your cousin.
I think I forgot my wallet. Oh, yep. There it is. Oh, hey, man.
Hey.
You're getting in on this too? Hey, look, just a word of friendly advice. Mm-hmm. Don't talk about Russian prostitutes.
Well, then I guess this interview's done. right, you know. Well, they want to talk to me about the time I peed on my cousin. All right, so
Commander Dr. Chips, are you amiable to changing the subject of the conversation?
No.
Honestly,
I can tell you the story.
I'm pretty loose here. I could go any direction.
The two stories dovetail together.
I'd love to hear more stories. Yeah.
Oh, well, we're here for a good story. Yeah.
Okay,
I love dovetails.
I'm 9 years old, and my cousin is visiting. He's about a year older than me, and we think that everyone has outgrown peeing their pants. Right?
Babe, get in here. Listen to this.
So I decide I'm going to embarrass
him. What is this?
So what I do is I urinate into his pants while he's sleeping. But then, because I can use the fact that he's asleep as a subliminal message, I say to him, years from now, you're going to dress up as a woman and do this on Donald Trump in a Russian hotel where the Obamas once slept. Then you're going to give a British guy dodgy information about it. And then, lo and behold, that's what happened.
It's my cousin.
Oh, hey.
What? I'm sorry. I was just at the door. How are you?
I knew you would like this story.
Oh, my gosh.
This is wonderful. By the way, what you describe, you can charge like $200 for that.
Is that American or like Euro dollars?
You take off the pants of somebody else, you pee on them, and then you put them back on them. And that is like $200 Americans pay.
Can you hand me that?
Wet work is wet work.
Can I see that $200? Can you
hear me? I'll give $200.
Hey, look at this.
No, there's no soliciting.
Bill. It's a counterfeit bill.
No, it's not.
She just handed me a counterfeit bill. Huh? How does that? Now I'm qualified for the Secret Service. Come on, you gotta qualify me.
Wow,
Dr. That Chips.
Was well played.
Well, this is very unfortunate. I may have to return to my country.
No, look. If you're going, I'm going. Can I renege on my entrance to the Secret Service? I kind of want to go to Russia.
I'll take a spot.
Done deal. Yeah.
Before I go, would anybody like me to pee in their pants?
No. Me, babe, in Russia.
All I mean, right. If you're offering.
Well, I guess. Oh, you do? Do you have $100?
No.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to pee on the floor.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited.
I had to go
for...
anyway.
I mean, somebody guys, I think this is the best interview I've ever... Oh, my back!
Oh.
Aha! And I will take my counterfeit bill back. And that in Russia is what we call a gymnast split.
That's a gym. Yeah, baby. That's why I'm with you. Peace, suckers.
I cannot wait for boxer camp.
Legit.
Legit. I think you mean peas.
I'm so sorry that you're going to have to make a pee noise now.
There are a few greater joys in my life.
I feel like I went dirty this time. But
Googling water and water.mp3.
Foley work is just the best part of the editing process.
Can I give you a compliment, though, St. James? Like, I really thought you were going to attack the obvious fake fish and chips name, and you went with Doctor. And you
A to C,
played
bro.
That.
A to C.
Yep. Yeah.
Always taking notes from me.
It's a professional right there.
That's a GD pro.
All right. That's our show for this week, guys.
That was a fun one.
What a lovely, lovely small crew. Thank you, as always, to Matt Walker for our intro and outro music.
Whoop, whoop.
This episode was hosted by me, Jet Kaufman, edited by me and Chris Sanders. And every scene you heard today was improvised on the spot, along with some of the ads, with only a light touch of editing for your comfort. If you're loving what we're doing, just please pause the show real quick, write a 5-star review before you close the app, and then tell a friend about us too. Tonight's regular cast included me, Jet Kaufman, Josh Spence, Chris Sanders, Stephen C. James, and Jen Burton. And that's it, everyone.
Hey,
all right.
Jet?
Yes. Yes, Josh, what's up?
If I was going really fast on the monkey bars and I slipped, you'd pat me, right?
No, but I'd laugh, and then I'd pat you on the back and walk you home.
I don't believe anything's on.
Before we go, if I could just take a minute and everybody could join me in a quick prayer. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I swear to God, this is going to be a great prayer. Lord God, please let this episode of Super Legit Podcast reach everybody in the entire universe.
Dear Heavenly Father,
all
Jesus.
Of the earth, especially in...
Please forgive Mark for the happening.
Philadelphia.
And for the Planet of the Apes
That's
reboot.
Where I'm from, right? Yeah, Philly.
That's and for Boston. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Amen.